Welcome to Encounter. We want nothing more than to help you find and follow Jesus. If you're a college student in Central Illinois, head to isuencounter.org or download our student app to learn about all that's happening here. Thanks for listening.
Hello, hello. There I am. Good evening. Welcome. It is so good to see you all here tonight. Good evening. My name is Dave. I'm a friend of Ben and Joe's, and I've been here a few times. Love coming here. I come all the way from Washington, Illinois, which you probably figured out from the accent. Yeah, that's right. That's how we all speak in that strange little town of Washington where we all sound British. Have spoken at Encounter a few times, absolutely love it. I've got to be honest, of all the college groups I've ever spoken at in Bloomington Normal, you are my favorite by far. Well done. So Ben asked me if I would come and speak tonight, and he gave me a subject of wonder. Wonder. We're going to talk about what it looks like to just be in awe and wonder of God. And straight away, this got me thinking about times in my life where I've just been in awe and wonder of God and who He is. And it took me back to a couple of years ago when me and some pastor friends, we embarked upon a great adventure. We were going to raise money to help plant churches in some of the poorest places in the world where children are living in poverty. And we were going to raise tens of thousands of dollars to help start brand new churches in these places. And the way we were going to do it was together, the nine of us, we were going to hike to the base camp of Mount Everest. That was our goal. Now, a friend of mine did ask me to clarify. He said, so you're climbing Mount Everest? I said, no. No, I'm not climbing Mount Everest. Those people are, like, crazy. No, I'm going to base camp. That's where the people who do climb Mount Everest, that's where they start from. And he said, so you're hiking to the bottom of Mount Everest. I was like, well, it's still quite high up. I mean, it wasn't like the bottom. I mean, it was like 17,600 feet above sea level where we're at right now. There's like 50% oxygen. But you'll be pleased to know that I made it. There I am at the base camp of Mount Everest. And on this particular hike, it took us 8 days to get there. We saw some incredible things along the way, some fantastic views. We crossed these crazy, scary rope bridges that spanned huge chasms, beautiful villages where people lived up in the mountains, the Sherpas, they lived in these villages there, incredible architecture, temples up in the mountains, animals, these are the guys that would carry gear up and down, that is a yak, but I remember our guide, he was kind of getting us ready, because we said about 4 or 5 days in, we're going to come to a point on the routes, we're going to go around a corner, and you're going to get your very first glimpse of Mount Everest, the biggest mountain in the world, in all of its majestic glory. And I could not wait. I was so, so excited. This is exactly why I came to see the biggest mountain in the world. And I remember that day, we got up that morning, and we kind of hiked for a couple of hours. As we got to the top of this hill, we kind of turned a corner. We said, okay, you ready? Here it is. Yeah. That's what we saw, just clouds. So behind those clouds is a really cool mountain. It's the biggest mountain in the world, but that's all we saw. And I remember going to bed that night, and I was so bummed because I'd been hyping myself up. I was super excited to see this incredible mountain in the Himalayas, and I was kind of depressed. I went to sleep that night, and I remember praying, God, I'm happy that we're raising money, and I'm thrilled with all the stuff I've seen already, but I just want to see this mountain. And the next morning, wouldn't you believe it, I wake up, and I open the curtains in this room we were staying in, and it was like sunshine and blue skies. So I was so excited. I went out of my room quick and I kind of turned the corner out of where we were staying. I walked up this little path and I turned a corner and this is what I saw. This spectacular view of this incredible mountain. And in that moment, I was full of awe and wonder. Standing there looking at that. And as a Jesus follower, I couldn't help but just be amazed saying, God, you are so amazing. You're taking my breath away as I look on at the beauty of your creation and the magnificence. This is so much bigger than the mountains we have in Central Illinois. It was amazing. And I was just blown away and I was just in wonder of who God was. And I want to talk about that idea tonight because I think God's made us. I think he's created us. There's something inside of us that connects with the majesty and the awesomeness of God. And it's not a new thing. It's been in existence for thousands of years. We read about people in the Bible who, especially the poets and the psalmists, they would talk about the majesty and the wonder of God. It's believed that King David wrote Psalm 33, and as we all know, King David, he loved God. He loved to worship God, and as he worshipped God, he would write down these incredible, what we now know as psalms, but back then they were like worship songs. And listen to what he said in Psalm 33. I can't read up there. I'm going to read on my thing here. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy, for the word of the Lord holds true. And we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed a word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. Such an incredible psalm written by David. And he starts out the psalm, doesn't he, in those first couple of verses by saying that we should sing and praise the Lord. We've done that already this evening. What we did when we came in and the musicians led us on their 10-stringed harps and their lyres, we worshipped God in here tonight. And I bet some of you worshipped God because in your heart of hearts, you had things to worship him for. Maybe there was something happening in your life and you were like, God, I just want to thank you. It's been a great week. It's been awesome. And you came in just ready to worship God. But maybe some of you came in tonight and you were like, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. If you knew the day I'd had, the week I've had, the stuff that's going on in my life right now, God, I'm going to be honest, it's going to be tough to find something good to worship about this evening. So David gives us a little bit of a challenge in the rest of the psalm. He says, just in case you're not feeling it, here's another reason we should sing and praise and worship him. Because he is amazing. Look at what he has done. He's created the heavens and the stars and the oceans. All this beauty, all of which should just cause us to say, God, I worship you. I am in wonder of you. You are so, so amazing. You know, I love how God has created us to connect with him. He wants a relationship. He's not a God who's a million miles away and unapproachable. He wants an intimate relationship with all of us. And I was at a conference once, and I heard this guy talking about this, and it was so liberating, and maybe it'll help some of you here tonight. He said, the speaker, you know, every one of us is different, and it's good that we're different. But what that means is we tend to connect with God in different ways. Some of us, man, we are musical. We love to sing. We love to play music. We love to worship God. And maybe for you tonight, when we were singing, that was your moment to connect with God. But not all of us are like that. We like to worship, but that's not the best way for us to connect with God. I'm not like that. And I know that because just a couple of weeks ago at our church, I pastor a church in Washington, our worship leader, and he loves music. He's a great musician. He loves to worship. And in the middle of the song, he was playing, he finished, he goes, wasn't that awesome? He goes, it was like a rehearsal for what heaven's going to be like. And I'm going to be honest with you, I sat there thinking, I hope I'm not going to spend eternity just singing. I mean, I like singing. I love to worship God, but I want to do some climbing mountains. I want to do some skiing. Like, heaven for me better be more than just standing singing forever and ever, because that doesn't sound like heaven to me. But for some people, they're like, that's heaven. Some of you, you're like, you're intellectual, you're studious. Man, when you open up the Bible, you get together with your friends, you do a Bible study, and someone's like, did you know this? And you start to get deep into the Word. You're like, man, this is so awesome. And you feel this connection with God when you're studying his Word. And then maybe you're someone here tonight, and for you, your connection with God is when you are just
in the midst of the action, when your hands are in the dirt, where you're amongst the people who have the greatest need. Maybe you're helping out. Maybe it's a social project where you're helping someone in need, and you're down there and you've seen people who are maybe poor or needy, and you're there helping to meet a need. And in that moment, when you are helping that person, you just feel like Jesus is in the room right there connecting with that person. You are the hands and feet of Jesus in that moment. And for you, that's when you feel the greatest connection to God, when you are serving in Him in that way. And then maybe, a little bit like me, maybe some of you here tonight, when you get outside, when you get out into nature, when you go somewhere in the world that's just the most beautiful scenery, the most beautiful creation, it's like you could just leave, and within minutes of just being alone in that environment, you're like, God, you are fantastic. I love you so much. And it's okay that we're all different. And it's okay that we connect with God in different ways. But sometimes it's good to connect with God in ways that we're not normally accustomed to. That's why I love to worship. I do like to worship. I'm just not sure I want to worship forever and ever and ever. But I do still like to sing worship. I love to study the Bible. And for all of us, I think it's good if we stretch that muscle a bit and look for ways to find the wonder of God in creation. To look for ways to experience God and His wonder around us. Now, I know some of you are already thinking, Dave, that's, I get what you're saying. And if I was at the feet of Mount Everest looking up, I would wonder too. But have you been to Bloomington Normal? As I walk from classroom to classroom, as I walk across the campus, there's not a lot that has me looking up thinking, wow, God. As I gaze upon the Grossinger Motors Arena, I'm in awe of your wonder. I mean, it's just not really the place where you expect to see God, is it? It's not a lot around for us to wonder. I drove here tonight from Washington. Lot of flats, lot of cornfields. But you want to hear something really funny? I think this is God-like, having a laugh at my expense. I literally wrote in my notes earlier this week as I was preparing, I drove here from Washington. It's flat. It's boring. Do you know what? Tonight I drove here. It had rained. I'm coming along 74, and there was the most magnificent rainbow I've ever seen. I'm like, God, you've messed up my illustration, because I was trying to point out that there's nothing good in Central Illinois. And here I am going, wow, this is beautiful. Good job, God, that's amazing. And He was just letting me know that if you look for it, it's there. So tonight, what I want to do, because I think deep down inside of us, every one of us has this desire to appreciate and be in amazement of who God is. But I don't think we do it as much as we want. And I think it's because sometimes there's a few obstacles that stop us from truly wondering and finding ourselves in amazement of God. And I want to identify, if I can tonight, three of those obstacles. Maybe you'll identify with one or two of them. But once we know what those obstacles are, we can be a little bit more intentional at pushing them out of the way so that we can truly experience what it's like to wonder at who God is. The first obstacle, I bet we can all relate to this one, is too busy. We're just too busy. We're just caught up in the distractions of life and school and everything that's going on. Maybe like me, you read the story of Mary and Martha. Do you remember that story when Mary and Martha, Jesus went to their house to visit them, and Mary's just sat at the feet of Jesus, just being in His presence. Meanwhile, Martha's cleaning the kitchen, she's cooking, she's busy, and Jesus says, Martha, stop doing that. Come and hang out. And I always feel bad for Martha. I'm like, Jesus, she was working really hard. The house looked good. But He was saying sometimes it's good to stop the busyness and just spend time with Me. But we're so busy, aren't we? And here's what's the biggest challenge for me. I wonder if this is the same for you. Is as busy as I am, one of the biggest distractions, one of the biggest things that keeps me preoccupied and my mind off of the wonder of God is what I'm holding in my pocket right now. We've all got one. It's this guy right here. Now, when I was younger, back in the 1900s, and cell phones first came out, do you know what we used these for? Phones. We called people. That's all you could do. You call someone, you put it back in your pocket, you're done. That's about the only thing we don't use this for anymore. When my phone rings, I freak out. I'm like, why aren't you texting me? Why are you calling me? This is kind of getting me a little bit anxious here. It's our movie theater. It's our social network. It's our map. It's our camera. It's our photo. It's everything. And it's on all the time. I bet there's at least two of you here tonight who, even since I've started talking, you've checked it a couple of times just to make sure you haven't missed anything. It's so easy to just grab it. And when there's a down moment and there's a little bit of a lull or a little bit of peace and quiet, the first thing we do is kind of grab our phone. When we're filling up with gas, there's a couple of minutes here I could watch some TikTok videos. When we're waiting in line at the store, there's three people in front of us. I'm going to send a few snaps here. Is that right? Is that the right way of saying that? I'm not really a good Snapchat user. You're in the restroom. Let's text a friend. They're going to be happy to hear from me at this moment what I'm doing. There was couple of years ago, I came to the Encounter Retreat. Ben very kindly invited me to come and spend the weekend with you guys on your retreat, and I absolutely loved it. And I remember my wife came with me, and we drove all the way down to Little Galilee, Camp Little Galilee, is that what it's called, or Camp Galilee, Camp Little Galilee. And he gave me directions to get there, but he didn't give me clear directions of where to go once I got there. So I pulled into this campground, and there's cabins everywhere. I got no idea where I'm going, so I pulled up to the first cabin. It was called Peace. So I got out of the car, and I walked up, and as I kind of got close, I could see there were girls carrying sleeping bags and pillows, and I'm like, okay, that's a girl's dorm. That's not where I need to be going. So I got back in the car. We drove down to the next one. That was Patience. I get out, and as I get close, there's some guys carrying sleeping bags and pillows. I'm like, okay, that's a guy's dorm. So I look, and there's a bigger cabin off in the distance. That's called Self-Control. So I go to that cabin, and as I get there, I go in, and it's the dining room. I'm like, come on. So I had to text Ben. I was like, Ben, which fruit of the spirit am I meant to be at? I don't know how to get there. If you've been on the camp, you'll know they're literally named after all the fruits of the spirit. And I think it's brilliant that they named the cafeteria Self-Control, because you need it when you're there. So finally, I found the auditorium, and I get there, and I get settled, and I get my notes, and we get everything sorted, and I got about 10 minutes before the meeting's going to start, so I just pull out my phone to kill some time. No service. Horror. The blood drains from my body as I realize I am completely disconnected from the world. All Friday night, all day Saturday, all Sunday morning. And even though I knew this, do you know how many times I found myself doing this? Just opening up the calculator, doing some sums. I mean, that was the only thing I could use it for. Nothing else I could do with this. But it was like God was saying to me, hey, why not just appreciate the moment? Why not just spend some time? Maybe I'll speak to you in this moment. Maybe there'll be a pause when you'll just wonder at who I am. And now, when I do have self-service, I still try not to always go for my phone in a downtime. I try to say, God, I want to see you in this moment. I want to find you. I want to wonder at who you are. And I don't want to find myself too busy, too distracted to miss who you are. You know, the second idea I had about things that sometimes get in the way of our wandering with God is that we can be a little bit too analytical. And here's what I mean by this. I don't know about you, but if I ever see somebody doing a magic trick, straight away I want to figure out how they did it. I'm like, how did you do that? Was that card marked? Is there a trapdoor under that box? I bet there's a trapdoor under that box. Was that rabbit up your sleeve? Did you have that rabbit up your sleeve? Is that where you got that? I want to figure it out. And I think it's because we're wired that way. I think many of us, you know, we want to figure things out. Maybe you're here tonight and your major is one of the sciences. Because there's something inside of you that is fascinated with the world in which we live, or the human body, and you want to learn more about it. And that's what's driving you in your education, because you're analytical and you want to figure things out. And because of this, there can be this thought that science and religion are now rivals, that the two of them are incompatible with one another. The thought is, and I think this is untrue, but the thought is that Christians, we look at the stars with wonder and amazement, but the scientist, he or she, they can explain how the stars came to be, what they're made of, how long the light from that star took to get to the earth. And the scientist mocks the Christian and their childlike faith. as they look up above the world so high at that star twinkling like a diamond in the sky. But you know what I learned recently? In 1916, a research study was done, and they asked a group of biologists, physicists, mathematicians, whether they believed in a God who actively communicates with humankind and to whom one may pray in expectation of receiving an answer. And of all of these scientists and mathematicians that they asked this question, about 40% of them answered the question in the affirmative. They said, yes, we do believe that. This was 1916. In 1997, they repeated that survey. Exact same questions, exact same group of types of scientists that they asked. They were so surprised, the researchers, to find out that the percentage remained almost the same. That a large population of scientists who are very analytical, who study the universe and the human body to figure things out, they also believe that there is a God behind this incredible thing that they are studying. One of those scientists is a man by the name of Francis S. Collins. He wrote a book called, He wrote a book called The Language of God. And in this book, he tells of his own conversion as an adult to faith. How he discovered Jesus through the testimony of a lady, who a patient who he was working with, who was dying from cancer. And her faith in the midst of this darkest hour, it challenged him to the core. He said, this woman is holding on to something in the very end of her life. And I'm a scientist. I've never asked myself, what if there was a God? And he analytically, he studied and he went forward and he came to the conclusion that there had to be a God. As a Jesus follower himself, he's very famous. He's actually the head. He was the head of the Human Genome Project. This was the project that helped to map out the entire human DNA sequence, one of the greatest accomplishments of the 20th century. When they announced the findings to the world, him and many of his colleagues, they were invited to the White House to make the announcement. Leaders from around the world were either there in person or connected via conference. And Bill Clinton, the president at the time, he gave a speech with Francis Collins there in the room. He compared the human sequence map to the map that Meriwether Lewis had unfolded in front of President Thomas Jefferson in that very same room nearly 200 years earlier. And this is what President Bill Clinton said in that moment. Without a doubt, this is the most important, the most wondrous map ever produced by humankind today. We are learning the language in which God created life. We are gaining ever more awe for the complexity, the beauty, and the wonder of God's most divine and sacred gift. As a Christian himself, Collins had worked with the president's scriptwriters to have those very words included. He wanted people to know that you can be analytical and you can approach things analytically with two frames of mind. The first is as a skeptic, to disprove, to say, no, this is how science proves that there cannot be a God. But you can also, like Collins, approach with awe and wonder. And as he worked scientifically, analytically, in mapping out the entire DNA sequence of the human body, it brought him to a place of complete awe and wonder that there is a God who could create something so complex, something so incredible, and yet still desire to have a personal relationship with you and me. Yes, we can be too analytical to a fault, but actually, some of us, I think, as we research, as we study more, and as we learn more, we shouldn't be afraid to learn about these things, because in our heart of hearts, all they do is they draw us closer to God. They help us to see more of who he is, and we're amazed and in wonder of who he is and what he's done. So maybe tonight, busyness is what keeps you in the way of appreciating who God is, or your analytical mind. You know, you tend to be a bit skeptical. Or maybe it's this. Maybe it's simply that you're too distracted. And I'll tell you what I mean by distracted, because this is different than busy. Maybe there's something in your life that's distracting you from the greatness and the wonder of God. And I'm going to give this as an illustration. So I'm holding up my thumb right here. I'll close one eye. I see my thumb. But behind my thumb, I see this huge auditorium full of students. You look fantastic. You're welcome. This thumb represents the problems in my life. The things I'm struggling with, the fears I have, the workload I've got right now in school, whatever it might be. And everything behind it represents how awesome and amazing God is. Here's the mistake I make sometimes, and I wonder if you do this too. This ends up getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And do you know what I can see now? Just the thumb. Actually, I can see a little bit of you guys and a little bit of you guys, but mostly just the thumb. And everything else has disappeared. I think sometimes we miss the wonder and the majesty of God because some of the stuff in our lives gets so close and we get so focused on it that we miss God behind it. And God's saying, hey, if for a moment you would just look away and look to me, everything will come into perspective. You'll suddenly see how big I am and how small that is in comparison. It's not that your problems aren't big. They are big. But compared to God, they're small. And we see this in the Bible. Do you remember the story of a prophet by the name of Elisha? Elisha was this great prophet, and one day he was being pursued by the enemy, and they surrounded the village in which he was in. He's in this house with his servant, and his servant, you know, gets up out of bed in the morning, stretches his leg, goes outside for a breath of fresh air, and he looks and he sees the enemy of the Lord surrounding the whole city. He comes back in, he wakes up Elisha, he goes, sir, we are in big trouble. They've found us. They've surrounded us. There is no way out of here. Elisha is so cool. He kind of stretches a bit. He's like, you know what? God, open his eyes. Go on, out you go. He sends the guy back out. The guy goes out a second time. Nothing's changed. The problem is still just as bad as it was before. The enemy is surrounding them. But this time, he sees something that he hadn't seen before. He sees the army of God surrounding the enemy. The army of God, angels surrounding the enemy. And this is what Elisha says to his servant. Don't be afraid. 2 Kings 6:16. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And sometimes I think we need to remember that. We need to pause upon the wonder of God and his creation. As we get distracted by some of the stuff in our lives, say, God, help me to remember that you are so much greater than these things in my life. So here's my challenge to you as you leave tonight and you go back to school this week and in the coming weeks. I know you've been talking about some spiritual disciplines here at Encounter and some practices that you can put in place as a follower of Jesus to help you grow in your faith. And I think wonder is one of those practices. And I want to encourage you guys to try that over the coming days and weeks. Like, be intentional. Say, God, I want to find ways to just truly wonder, to truly pause and see you. So there are some really simple ways you can do that. You can maybe get a book or a devotional that's geared around God and his awesomeness. If you've heard a guy by the name of Louis Giglio and Passion Resources, he does some great teaching. He has some great devotionals on just the cosmos and God and just how incredible he is. And reading some of those, just stretch your faith. Maybe it's finding a movie or a documentary that illustrates the immenseness of his creation. Or maybe it's just pausing long enough to reflect on the wonder of God. And I want to close tonight by doing that very thing. We're going to do a little exercise here together. So if you wouldn't mind, what I'd like you to do right now is just we're all going to close our eyes here together. So just where you're sitting, I want you to close your eyes. Just allow all the distractions of the room and the people around you to just slip away. And as you're sitting there just with your eyes closed, here's what I want you to do. I want you now to go in your mind to a place of beauty, something that just fills you with the awesomeness and the wonder of God. Maybe it's somewhere you've been before, or maybe it's somewhere you'd like to go, or maybe it's something. Maybe it's a flower, an animal, or the stars in the sky, whatever it is. But just find that place and just pause there for a moment. Because we can't be there physically right now, but in our minds we can be in that place looking at that mountain, that ocean, that flower, that tree, whatever it is that you're just looking at right now. Now, as you're looking at it, just start to just appreciate the beauty of it. And just wonder at the fact that God was a part of creating that for us. God didn't give us a dull, boring world. He gave us a world full of wonder and things to appreciate. And here's what I want you to do now. As you look at whatever it is you're looking at right now, ask God to show you something of who He is in what you see. Maybe something you're going through right now, and maybe it's a mountain you're looking at, and you need to know that God is bigger than everything in your life right now. Maybe that mountain is a sign of the steadfastness, the faithfulness. Maybe you're looking at a beautiful flower or creature right now. And God just needs to remind you, He cares so much about the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, that He feeds and clothes them. How much more does He care for you? What's God saying to you tonight as you look at the wonder and the beauty of His majesty and His creation that speaks to you about your life? With your eyes still closed, listen to this psalm. When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? And yet you made them, you made us, only a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims, the ocean currents. Oh Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Father God, forgive us that we get distracted, that we get busy, that sometimes we're skeptical and analytical, and it takes us away from the wonder of you. God, I pray in the days and weeks to come, Lord, we would make it a practice in our lives to say, you know, today when I walk from class to class, I'm not going to have my phone out as I'm walking. I'm going to just look for you, God. I'm going to wonder, because I know, God, that even on a drive from Washington to Bloomington, I can see the glory of your creation in a rainbow. If I just look for it, if I just look for it, you are all around. Your wonder is all around. We just have to pause and take time to find it. And then as we find it, God, I pray you would speak to us through that. You would show us about your majesty, your faithfulness, your grace, your ocean, like an ocean of grace in our lives. As we wander in your presence, Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Find out more about Encounter and ways to get involved at isuencounter.org.